Well, good evening tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity to report back to Worth Baptist Church. And we appreciate each and every one of you. This church has supported us for 36 years as a ministry, and I'm sorry Diana was not able to come. She's caring for some of her health needs and also for her aged parents, but not she would be here with us tonight. So we appreciate it very much, and I'd like to show a 7-minute video, a little bit about what you folks have been investing in down here all these years, and then I'd like to share a few things with you from the Word of God in a way of encouragement and also challenge tonight, so we can see the video.
We are True and Diana Hawkins, your missionaries to Brazil. We live in Manaus, a city of more than 2 million people. Here we have built and organized churches since 1986. This is the Bible Institute of Amazonas. It's in its 46th year of operation. Our focus here is teaching men and women and preparing them for their personal ministries. Reaching children is an important ministry to us. We now have more than 260 graduates working all over the country of Brazil and in foreign countries. Branching out from Manaus, we have expanded to new areas. These Bible institutes are on Indian reserves. They are teaching men and women from the different tribal groups in their own native tongue. Our men and women are building church among their own people and also among many other people groups. They are leaving the worship of idols to worship the living God. Cross-tribal evangelism has opened the door to building these new churches among many new people groups in Brazil, Colombia, and Venezuela. Communities like Buya, Cabeçudo, Irari, Pirayawara have built their own buildings without any outside help. They are now giving to missions and sharing the gospel with others. Our national missionaries are a real blessing to us. They are the real, true, modern-day heroes. We are doing the best we can to help them by buying the materials they need to evangelize the people deep in the interior areas. Our newest project among the Waimiri Atroari is going forward. Clothing and other kitchen items were sent in to them. We are helping our churches build new churches. Kaitau on the Juruá River is our newest project. They have put their roof up and we have sent in the materials for their floor. Ariaú project continues. Missionaries Ivan and Val have a new motorbike. They care for the needs of the people in that poor community. Many of them need this special care because their families are very amiss and negligent. This is Diana with Fernanda and our two missionaries. The people are being saved there and the group is growing. Yanuri building is up, the wall is finished, and also the floor. The new tile floor has been put in place. The group there is growing also. On the Morena Highway, we await funds to begin the building of that new congregation on that road, 180 miles from town. On the Mikaji Road, Clovis and Celina are working hard. Where there was once only jungle, now there stands a building. And people are coming and being saved. We had the joy of being able to wire that building this August. In Presidente Figueiredo, the works are also growing. We made these benches and some of the other materials that the church has needed and sent them in. In 132, the building is almost done. There in town, also in Presidente Figueiredo proper, this building is complete and the people have banded together to begin other works in that community. In Purupuru, we ask your prayers for Militan Olivia and their difficulties with their age and their ministry there. The work in Berudi is going very well. The building is almost done, and the people are coming. The church members are growing in the faith, and the children's choir a very special blessing to hear and see. Our ministry also includes organizing and promoting conferences for church leaders. Diana also organizes activities for the ladies to strengthen their local churches. Working with the youth has always been a priority. Camps and sports activities are important tools to keep our youth strong in the faith. Most places in the Amazon can only be reached by river travel. Some areas we reach on the back of a truck or in a small boat or sometimes on a large crowded line boat. We help churches that are already established also. Diana teaches Sunday school teachers how to make their own Sunday school material. We promote missions and Bible conferences and also help out in churches that are without pastors. Our primary mission today is making disciples. These are some of the results of your faithful mission giving and your prayers over the years. Thank you for standing with us.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, tonight will be our text. And a lot of the things I could not show you there because they're sensitive material, the Lord has opened up the door for us now to reach into the tribes deep in the rainforest. I guess you'd call them the Stone Age people. And we were very blessed this year of 2018. We were able to vote 71% of all the communists off the ballot and out of the office. And we elected a man named Jair Bolsonaro, and his wife's a Christian. And she stood up after his inauguration and said she wanted to win Brazil for Christ. Well, that's the first we'd ever heard from a first lady. And so today we have two years and 10 more months of his administration. Pray that he can get reelected. And I believe that at end will be that we'll be able to get even deeper and do more things there in these last days before it's too late. So pray for Brazil and the situation down there. And we like our new president. And just in a way of, just so that you'll know, the media, of course, said that Brazil was, the northern Amazon was catching fire this last year. You saw it on the news. Well, that was a lie. I mean, the pictures they showed were NASA's pictures from 2015 when the communists were in charge of the country. And what it is they're trying to defeat him and take him down because they're awful angry that they got voted out. And so you pray for Brazil and pray for Jair Bolsonaro and his wife. And for us, as we open up the doors, I believe, to new areas where we've never been allowed in before. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17 says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Let's pray this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity given us. We ask that you tonight give us clarity of mind, and our work tonight here, Lord, is to encourage and to challenge our people and to show, Lord, what has happened in these last 36 years of our personal ministry, and even back into the 50s when my parents went to that country and began this work. Thank you for this church, Lord, and its leadership from the beginning that has given to missions, whether they be American missions building churches across this great country or also across the borders of this great country into other countries and continents, as missionaries have gone out to share the gospel and build churches among many people that had never heard. So, Lord, we thank you for these people. They have been a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at this text here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and it's from the missionary standpoint of how much he appreciated this church, this Philippian church. It was an exceptional church. They were real Christians. If you read the first chapter, you'll see that they were a loving church. They had great qualities. They had fellowship in the gospel. They stood fast in one spirit and one mind, and they were striving together for the faith. And therefore, the apostle says there in verse 7 of chapter 1 that he had them in his heart. Now, I don't know how better to describe from a missionary standpoint how we feel about the churches that stand with us, give and pray for us, than that we have them in our hearts. Now, it'd be impossible for us to have a biblical ministry in the Amazon region without a local church. First of all, I'm a local church sent missionary. My church is Tabernacle Baptist Church, and I'm sent from that church. I was ordained by that church. And then we've banded together with many other churches like Worth Baptist Church that have sent us their help, their prayers, and have stood with us all these years. And therefore, we've gotten things accomplished. And that's what happened here in Apostle Paul's life. This was a great church because it was a church that was connected with the missionary. Now, we run a great risk many times when we have a mission program that we may even consider a missionary just as a small little pin on a great world map. So we don't want that to happen. We want missions to be personal. Now, I'm also a mission supporter. I help all our missionaries in Brazil. I care for them when they come to Manaus, and it through your offerings and your giving here, the American churches and this church in particular, we've been able to purchase those used outboards, some of those which you've seen, and some aluminum canoes. And those canoes have been instrumental so that those folks, our national missionaries, will get in those canoes, put 300 gallons of gasoline in there and some food, and they'll go into the deepest parts of the jungle after people of lost tribes and begin reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's an incredible thing that can happen when you use biblical principles and you end up with biblical results. And so we appreciate this church for that. And the Philippian church was also a church just like that. They were connected with the Apostle Paul. They were connected with him because they prayed for him. And sometimes we lose track of how important prayer is. The Apostle Paul thought it was important. He says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, he says that helping us together by prayer. Now, that seems like just a small verse, but just like the song we heard, the special we heard, that was a great introduction to this message, because we believe that God hears prayers. And we believe that God calls people through prayer. That's what the Lord said. He says, what do we need? He says, we need laborers. So what do? We pray to the Lord of the harvest. He would give us laborers. And I believe that through prayer, laborers are called. I believe through prayer, laborers are sent. And I believe that they prosper and they stay on the field as missionaries because God's people have prayed. And this church has been exceptionally good to us and to many other missionary families all over the world in that they have prayed for their missionaries. And, you know, we don't know what we've escaped from over the years. My wife was, I remember she probably shared this before here, but, you know, we were coming down river back from a trip way up about 800 miles up the Rio Negro, coming back to Manaus about 2 days out of port, and we discovered that they'd given them some poisons and pineapples, and she almost died because of that. But, you know, those are the times we know that people are praying for us, and it was a miracle that she survived, and I wouldn't have not even known what to do in that situation. But God's people have prayed, and we've seen the effects of that. As we look over the country of Brazil there, the northern part where we work in, there are four states there that we operate in. We've seen the power of prayer open up doors that have been closed before. 1938, when William and Herthel Ross went to Brazil, they asked God to open up the door of the Alpes River there, north of São Gabriel, a ways north and west. He never was able to get in. My father did the same thing twice on occasions in the 50s and the early 60s, and it's been closed up till recently. But now God has opened the door to the Alpes River after 120 years of Catholicism. So prayer does work, folks. So keep on praying, and we'll keep you posted in our prayer letters and our articles of what's going on there among the Tarianos and the Jupitas and the Tucanos and the Piratapuyas there on the Alpes River. Apostle Paul commends them here in verse 19 of chapter 1. He says, he talks about their prayer for him. So they were a praying church. And when you connect yourself with a missionary, you're right there with him on his mission trips. You're right there with him in the classroom when he's teaching his disciples. You're right there with him when he's reaching an untouched tribe that's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're right there with him. It connects you to his ministry. Then the third thing tonight, and I promised your preacher on the phone that I would not be Pharaoh. I will let you go, I'll hurry. They were a giving church. They were a giving church. They were committed givers. And they were conscious givers. They knew what they were giving to. They knew exactly what they were doing when they would send their gifts to the Apostle Paul. They wanted to be a part of that ministry because that ministry was a prosperous ministry. It was a ministry that was reaching and teaching and making disciples. And anymore today, you know, I'm a little confused about who they call missionaries today. I think that we can define missions through the scriptures, but there's all kinds of missionaries today that do all kinds of things that the scripture doesn't mention. So I'm with our teaching in Brazil, I'm of the opinion, and I've been teaching our people in Brazil that a missionary, he goes out there and he evangelizes and he teaches and he makes disciples and he builds churches. That's what they're supposed to do. They were committed givers, they were conscious givers, and they were cheerful givers. You know, I just get the feeling from this text that they were anxious all the time to be able to be a help to their missionary, the Apostle Paul. He was the greatest missionary of all time. I support missions there at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and I enjoy reading the prayer letters. I can honestly say as I go through and read them, well, I'm building churches in Indonesia here. Look, our missionary in Indonesia. Over here in South Africa, we're building churches in South Africa. People are getting saved. Well, that's my ministry too, as I pray and as I give to them. And the third great quality of this church, this Philippian church, is that they stood with the Apostle Paul. You can tell that by the text we just read. They were always worried about him and concerned about him, and they stood with him. It's awful good to know that you have friends that are standing with you. Probably the worst feeling a missionary can have on the field, and I'll speak from experience, is if he feels abandoned and that he's not remembered by anyone in prayer or otherwise. Today it's easy. Today we have the internet. You know, you can just send out a email saying, "Hey, brother, so-and-so, we're praying for you." Or send a card, you know, or maybe in certain cases, send them a package of taco seasoning. That might make their whole month, not even their day. I'm just saying, you know. It's good to know that people are standing with you. And it's easy for us to get in a rut how we pray for missionaries. And I have my prayer list too with my missionaries on it. And it's a hard thing to go through there every day and remember to pray for each one individually. And you know, if they're on the front of your refrigerator, you know, you just can't let yourself fall into the error of opening the refrigerator to get your milk in the morning, you know, for your cereal and say, "Lord, bless all those missionaries," you know. Be a little more specific than that. That's a request. It's good when the missionary knows that people are standing with him. The Apostle Paul, he held that very dearly. You can see the interchange here as he writes this letter to them and thanking them. And because in 2 Timothy 4:10, those painful words that he spoke, "Demas hath forsaken me." And then on there in verse 16, he says, "All men forsook me." Oh, those are painful words. Those are painful words. To be alone. It's good that we have a network of churches that support us. You know, people have said, "Well, you know, it's hard for the missionary to go for a year or 2 years." And now I think it's taking a lot longer than that for a missionary to raise the support. But there's a great good in that, and that he creates a huge network of people that will pray for him, give to him, and stand with him when he needs it. So this church was an exceptional church, and it was a church that was there with the apostle. And he was counting on them. And I'll speak again from experience, just knowing that there are people that care about you and that are praying and giving consciously is very rewarding and comforting. And then the last thing tonight, it was a fruitful church. A fruitful church. This is an interesting text here, verse 17. He says, you know, first of all, let me take the liberty here to say that he's telling them, "I don't need your money. Really, I don't. It's not about the money. It's not about the money." You know, and God has a way of always supplying needs, doesn't he? But it ought to be our desire that God would use us to do this. That's the important part. And so the apostle tells them, you know, not that I desire a gift from you, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Your account. Well, that brings me to say that every Christian then has a spiritual account, doesn't he? I was worried about my account the other day. I was in Chase and I was asking them, how can I get away from the foreign transaction fees, cashing fees? Means every time I zip my debit card in the machine down in Manaus and pull out Brazilian money, they charge me, well, I can take out from, I best take out a whole lot, the most I can, because they charge me $19.70 every time I do that. So at the end of the month, If I cash 4 or 5 times, it's what my bricklayer charges me all week long to lay bricks. So you understand, I was raised in a thatched roof house with a dirt floor. And so I, you know, some people call me tight, I guess. But I want your dollar to go as far as it can go. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I understand that there are a lot of people that give sacrificially. So I want to make it worthwhile, every penny, actually. So I was trying to figure out, and they told, well, if you'll put $50,000 in an account here, we'll give you 0.4% something like that. And I said, well, I don't have $50,000. Plus 0.04%. I said, that doesn't sound like much. And I got to thinking about my account. I don't think they're interested in my $97 in my checking account. And I don't think that's going to give me much interest at that rate. And not only that, you think about your physical account. People can hack it. And they can take your money. And it devaluates. You know, there's inflation. But I'm glad the Apostle Paul's not talking about a physical account here. He's talking about a spiritual account. And this account is in heaven. And nobody can hack it up there. And it doesn't devaluate. And it's about eternal things that really make a difference. So every Christian has a spiritual account. And that brings me to a question I had to ask myself. What is my net worth anyway, spiritually speaking? What is my net worth? What is our net worth? Well, if we keep concentrating on physical things and things that perish, then our net worth, spiritually speaking, is not going to be very high. And there's one thing about all this stuff here on earth, we can't take it with us. But a spiritual account, you can send it on ahead. And so the Apostle Paul says, you're a fruitful church, and I want you to have fruit to your spiritual account. And so Worth Baptist Church has invested in many ministries all over the world. Many of you have given sacrificially over the years and dug deep into your pockets and given. And your spiritual net worth is accumulating in heaven. That's what it says here. Fruit may abound to your account. We don't take that very seriously, I think. We don't understand the weight of those words. We will one day. And we'll be very glad that we did invest in spiritual things one day. So Worth Baptist Church has supported our family personally for 36 years. You've got a lot of investment down there. You've got a lot of fruit. In Manaus, churches built along the rivers, up the interior areas. There's a twofold fruitfulness, I think. One is what you do when you send the gospel to a culture. I was up on the Isana River, Rio Negro River. I was going up to the Chie, to Kumachi, but we had an invasion of the FARC troops, FARC troops, the revolutionaries of Colombia. 600 of them came into Brazil and cut our trip short. We had to leave that area. And so we went down from the Cheyenne up the Isana River, visiting some of our churches there. We stopped at a community, and I was tired. I'd been 4 days on a big line boat, 350 people on a 200-passenger boat, and and with all the joys, never mind, I won't tell y'all. Anyway, and so we'd been up, traveling on the aluminum canoes, a 19-foot with a 40-horse outboard on the back, and we stopped at a community tied up there, and then we got on a little wooden canoe, and with a little 3.5-horsepower Go Devil, and we bumped over the logs of this little narrow little stream there, and it's pouring down rain. We got to a community where missionary Valmy has been working for about a year and some. We got out all wet. We're trying to keep, you know, pulled our holy tarp, trying to keep our hammock dry. That's the important thing in this, right there. Keep our hammock dry. And we came up into the community center there, and there were some people there, and we sat down, and they served us. I won't tell you what they served us. But anyway, we were happy to be there out of the rain, and the people started coming, and the little guys, they're in charge of taking these little switches and switching all the chickens out of the roundhouse so they won't peck on your feet during church services, because we're all barefoot, you know, it's muddy, you know. And so then the bigger kids, they shoot the dogs and the pigs out, and we started having our service there. Valmise made a speech there, and then the people started singing a little song called Ariquena Surisawa that I've heard over my lifetime and sung it many times. And it's Isaiah 42:6. And it's about bringing people out of darkness to light, out of the prison house, you know, to liberty. And it talks about God saving their soul. And let me tell you, folks, that was an exciting time for me. What do you think is important in this world just fizzles away when you see the effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ on a remote tribal people like that? And you see, Worth Baptist Church, and you in particular, have taken a gospel to those people. So therefore, there are twofold things about this account. One, your fruit makes it possible and enables those people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and also to live a life of fullness, even in the deep recesses of the Amazon basin. And the second thing is that it adds fruit to your personal account, your personal spiritual account. As we think about our life coming to an end, and if you haven't noticed, I'm not young anymore. last missionary that we had that came and stayed, I think, was probably over 30 years ago in the Amazon region. Tim and Betty and Diane and I are the only ones standing there. Bill and Sharon Smith to the north of us, to 500 miles in the state of Roraima. And we have one other missionary in the north that was in Tocantins, went back up to Belém, about 1,200, 300 miles away from us. And so there aren't many people coming anymore to Brazil as missionaries. But I thank God that He's raised up people, the Brazilian people, to do this work. We've been making disciples. We have 270 graduates from our school in Manaus and over 100 from the other seminaries scattered all over the Amazon region, because we've been busy making disciples. And you've been busy as a church making disciples. You've been busy sending out missionaries that have built churches and trained disciples in seminaries. And now, all across the world, and I'll speak for the Amazon region where I work, there are all kinds of churches springing up all over there. In the county of São Gabriel, there are 63 works now among the indigenous people. There are 16 different tribal groups, people groups there. Now, not all of those are churches. There are churches, congregations, and preaching points. But praise the Lord, we're building churches. And I don't even have to do that anymore, because we have our disciples. You see, when you invest things like the Apostle Paul was saying, fruit abounds to your account. It's an accumulative thing. It starts small, but it grows because it's the Lord's work. And you think about what you've accomplished there through your prayers and through your giving and through your standing with the missionaries. And it has to be an encouragement to us. Many greater things are going to happen. And some of these tribes I'm not going to mention here, because we're, you know, transmitting, and so it's a sensitive thing. But I will tell you of some of the unreached tribes you've touched just recently. That's the Huaricana tribe, and the Piratapuyas there in Colombia. The Huaricanas are from Venezuela. The Cubeos are Colombian Brazil tribe. The Colinas, they're west of us. They're up toward the Peruvian border. The Hupitas on the Chiquiá River. And the Tarianos now, for the first time, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And others I can't mention here because we're live. But, you know, God has been good. And this has all come about because of people's patience and their faithful giving, praying, and standing. So I want to commend Worth Baptist Church and all it has done in our personal ministry in the Amazon region. And thank you for standing with us, giving and praying, because that's what it takes. Now, it hasn't been easy. No ministry is easy. You know, I could sit here and tell you about our problems. Everybody has problems. Yours are just different than mine. Mine is when I'm on a trip like that, I can take about 2 days. And that means we come up to Rapids, we unload the canoe, we carry the motor and gallons of fuel and our food and our baggage around and drag the canoe over the rocks and go to the next one, you know. After about 2 days of that, we're stopping there and they're carrying me around the rapids because I can't hardly, my back can't take all that anymore. But folks, listen, it's been a privilege to serve as your representative in the Amazon region of Brazil. I think of William and Hertha Ross in 1938. That place is still wild. Can't imagine what it was like in 1938. Then in the 50s when my folks went. And now all these years of investment that Worth Baptist Church and you in particular as givers, prayers, and as people that stand with the missionaries have. Greater things are to come. I believe God's going to open up the doors through our new president so that we can reach into tribes that before we were never even allowed in. Not even Indians are allowed to reach them, because cross-tribal evangelism is what we've done. We've established these institutes way up in these upper regions where they'll not only reach their own tribe, but go across and reach others for Christ. And that is something that they can't stop, in exception of two different cases here that I'm thinking about. But God's going to open doors, I believe. And so as Colossians 4:3 tells us, pray that we will have open doors of utterance so that we can take the gospel even further up into the way, what we call the Stone Age tribes there, to win them. Pray for our churches in Manaus. There's some of them are struggling. Our churches along the river are doing better, and the Indians work way deep interior is just doing fantastic. But continue on praying that God would bless it and would keep the enemy out of the way so that we can accomplish those things. So we just want to say once again thank you to Worth Baptist Church for the part it's had in our ministry there in the Amazon region. Remember, praying, giving, and standing connects you directly with the missionaries. So you are our partners. So pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and be able to share with these, your people, Lord, that have faithfully over all these years given, prayed, and stood. I'm sure it hasn't been easy. Many things got in the way, but they continued on. And that's what it has taken. Even my father was not able to see what's going on today. He so much loved the Indian works and so much tried to go in there, but because of patience and perseverance, continuance, great things have happened. Lord, we're humbled by it. We're just excited that we're the people on the ground to see it happen today. Lord, thank you for these people and for the missions, the love of missions and the missionary vision it has. And bless them, Lord, and add fruit to their account. In Jesus' name, amen.